when it came to writing my own book, Breach of Faith, it really, well, initially I was very reluctant to do it. I was approached by a publisher in New York, and they had been interested in another book that I had done about a death row case that, a criminal case. We didn't yet know that Katrina was going to turn out to be a matter of criminology as well, although it certainly did turn out to be that kind of thing, not by any means a natural disaster, as I think most people have come to understand, but an engineering failure. Second worst in human history. Anyone know the first worst, most disastrous engineering event in modern history? It was Chernobyl. By the standards of engineering, Katrina was second only to that in terms of its lingering impact, devastating consequences, and all the rest. But the point was to try to find a way to freshen that story, to bring it to life in the pages of a book that was going to appear 6 months later. Strategically, it occurred to me that we had already kind of gotten a helicopter's eye view of the disaster from worthy emissaries from the world of media like CNN and every other paper that had been there, including the Times-Picayune. Initially, I was motivated as much as anything by disgust, because though I think at the end of the day the media did a pretty damn good job covering Katrina, there were many gaffes and lapses, perhaps more apparent to the hometown crowd, inevitably more apparent to the hometown crowd than to the out-of-towners coming in here and making those mistakes, not that we didn't make our own. But there was something, it was almost a matter of the Freudian return of the repressed in some of the ugliness that crept into accounts of New Orleans. I mean, as an industry, I think we spent a lot of time in the 90s kind of in workshops and in sensitivity training and undoing racism and all that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden there in print were lurid stereotypes of a city described as bestial, as a bunch of looters and rapists, details later proving to be false. It occurs to me that if you are going to describe a young couple that simply walks away from a child that has expired of asthma on the sewage-stained carpeting of the convention center, and just toss it off in the sort of the 18th paragraph of a story as an example of something that was going wrong in New Orleans, you're not. That's not an interesting detail. That is a redefinition of human depravity, and you need to, I think, frame it and herald it in that way, and maybe in the course of that time, you'll discover that it was a falsehood as well, as it was indeed. The goal was to find people able to tell their stories. I looked for people who told more reasonable stories rather than the extreme stories, because I didn't think they were that representative. By definition, the extreme stories are not going to be that representative. It seemed important also to broaden the sort of dramatis personae and include more than just the destitute. I have a bone to pick with journalism, which is that the destitute are too easy. We tend to pick on the destitute. They also, in the absence of the rich and the powerful, are not the full spectrum in an event like Katrina. The game was rigged only to the extent that I needed people who would let me into their heads, who were articulate enough to explain what it was like to be on the roof of the house as the whole damn thing began to float away, or as you woke up to discover that your entire life's work as a realtor, small-time black businessman had been washed away in Katrina. The surprise and the discovery for me was to realize how intimately these braided narratives, how tight a weave we have in New Orleans, and how interconnected all these lives are, notwithstanding our efforts sometimes to draw lines in the sand and pull up our skirts and attempt to maintain a distance from our brothers and sisters. This was too intimate an event for that to happen.